"Understand you have some niggers below, sir," says he, and my innards froze at the words. "Couple of Mandys among 'em. Now, I never miss a Mandy if I can help it. Wonder if you feel inclined to talk business, sir."
I leaned back, hoping no one would notice how the sweat was beginning to pump off me.
"Always talk business any time," says Bradley. "Got to warn you, though, sir, my niggers don't come cheap." "Be deeply obliged, sir, if I may take a look at 'em," says Omohundro.
Bradley heaved himself up, and with his apologies to the table, he and Omohundro went off towards the staircase. I was shuddering by this time. I started to my feet, saying I must fetch something from my cabin, and then I was striding for the staircase with panic rising in my chest. By the time I reached the main deck, they were already over where Bradley's coffle lay, calling for the overseer to bring another light. It was pretty dim on the main deck, with only a few flare lamps, which cast great black shadows among the bales. The various coffles of niggers were scattered about, nesting among the cargo, with my own crew up forward. I lurked in the shadows, debating whether to go and warn Randolph, and decided not to. I didn't know what that high-strung gentleman might do if he knew there was danger close by. Peeping over a box, I watched while Omohundro, by the light of the overseer's lantern, examined a couple of Bradley's slaves. I couldn't hear what was said, what with the churning of the great paddle wheel and the crooning of the slaves, but after about 5 minutes, Omohundro shook his head. I heard Bradley laugh, and then the three of them moved slowly amidships, where Omohundro stopped to light a cigar, and I began to hear their voices.
"Of course, I don't blame you, pricing high," Omohundro was saying. "Reckon your figure is about right these days, but that wouldn't leave any margin of profit. Still, I'm right sorry. Good bucks you have, sir, and well schooled."
"Guess I can train a nigger," says Bradley. "Yes, sir, whoop seldom, but whoop good, my old dad used to say, and he was right. Guess I ain't laid a rawhide on a nigger of mine this last 12 month. Don't have to. They got a respect for me on count they know if I do trim one of 'em up, he'll stay trimmed."
"That's the style," chips in the overseer. "Only way, otherwise they get spoiled. Breaks my heart to see good niggers spoiled, too, by soft handling, like the coffle that Englishman brung aboard."
"How's that?" says Bradley. "I hear they's prime."
"Oh, prime enough, just now, but Miss Prescott don't know how to handle 'em, and he in a right way to ruinin' 'em. Shame it is. Why, he just pats and smooths, yes, sir, makes a body sick to listen."
And then, to my horror, he added,
"Care to see him, gentlemen?"
My heart stopped beating.
"One of 'em's the uppityest yeller son of a bitch you ever see," says the overseer. "First-rate nigger, too. Clean, straight, smart, and talks like a college professor. Oh, you know the sort, I reckon."
"Uh-huh," says Bradley. "Educated, likely, and spoiled to hell and gone. Got no use for 'em myself."
"That kind of fancy fetches a good price, though, once the tar's been taken out of 'em," says Omohundro. "Make valets, butlers, and so forth. Ladies in Orleans and Mobile paying heavy money for 'em."
He paused.
"Think the Englishman knows what this fella's worth?"
"How could he?" says Bradley. "He tells me he spent all his time in Afriky slave ships till now. He don't know the value of talking niggers."
"Talking niggers is right. This one of Prescott sure can't handle his gab, gentlemen,"
pipes up the overseer.
"And you don't have to steer more than 20 feet to see him," cries the infernal clod. "Here, gentlemen, step this ways."
I should have strode out then and there and done something, anything, to keep them away from my coffle. But my consternation had reached the point where I had lost my nerve altogether. Then the overseer was barking at my niggers to rise and let the white man have a look at them.
"George? Where that George? Here, George, you black varmint,"
the overseer shouted.
"Step out when I calls you."